This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 164 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, October 1st, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch.
Hey,
Marcus,
there.
How are you doing this week?
I'm excellent. Can't wait to get through the rest of the show today. We got a big one in store and a lot of news, a lot of stuff to cover. Let's get started, shall we?
Indeed we do. So, starting things off, last week I decided to have some fun in the tavern. Every now and then we do these reader polls, which in fact, the polls are powered by a plugin created by our guest, believe it or not. Ooh. So that's a nice little tie-in there. But I asked everybody, what are their favorite features in WordPress 4.0? And I've been a strong advocate of the sticky toolbar and the OEmbed previews and the visual editor, and overall just the improvements to the post-writing editor. So far, there's a total of 160 votes, and the new media grid view takes up 43% of the votes. And is in the lead with the revamped plugin discovery and install screens and click and place, respectively. So just taking a look at some of the new features in WordPress 4.0, I didn't think the new media grid view was going to be in first place, but then again, if we look back at the sort of anticipation of WordPress 4.0, a lot of people did say they were excited for this new media grid view.
Yeah, that's what got my vote on the tavern today. So I am a big proponent of the way that the new media library displays and the nice kind of masonry layout as you scroll down, the infinite scroll capability rather than having to go page by page by page to find something. It's been really nice. I wish that the only thing I don't like about it is that when you insert an image now, you don't have that capability of inserting kind of a clear border around the side, you know, just sort of a vertical spacing. That's no longer an option when you insert an image. So everything's been really clunky as far as left justifying with text butted right up against the side of the image.
Oh, that almost sounds like the issue we talked about along, you know, maybe two versions ago when they removed those features due to some enhancements to the media library. And not to go back down that rabbit, that's a rabbit hole, but I remember there was a debate on, well, that's CSS and the theme should handle all that. You should never have to do that. But, you know, that's a debate we'll never get around to.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to reprogram your entire theme just to make one image straight.
But other than that, if you haven't voted in the poll yet, we'll have it linked up in the show notes. Certainly go ahead and take a vote and give us your thoughts in the comments.
Yeah.
Speaking of WordPress development, shortly after WordCamp, actually I think this might have been during WordCamp Europe, which took place this past weekend, a huge WordCamp, over 950 people attended that event, John Blackburn has been named the WordPress 4.1 release lead. So this continues the trend of WordPress agencies dedicating a full-time person to lead a release of WordPress. This would also make it the second version of WordPress to be led by someone not hired by Audrey, not employed by Audrey, or Automattic. So that's a trend that I would like to see continue. And John Blackburn works for Code for the People, a WordPress development agency and WordPress.com VIP partner. So that's really cool. And some of the things he's planning on working on, 4.0 had a little bit of a delay, so there's going to be a short, little bit of a shorter window for WordPress 4.1, but he's going to work on improvements to session handling. 4.0 introduced revamped sessions, and I think he's going to try and build a UI for it. To manage sessions. So basically what you'll be able to do is actually log people out and control sessions from within WordPress, which is pretty neat. And he's also going to work on some possibly multi-site password reset enhancements. and maybe a few other things. And at least one thing he's got going for him already, and Matt Mulloway is in charge of this, is the new default theme that will be in WordPress 4.1, dubbed 2015. And we've written about that on the Tavern, and I've seen screenshots of it already, and I like it. I like the way it looks, and I think it sort of goes back to the roots of WordPress as far as just a simple, clean design that you wouldn't mind using right out of the box. So go ahead.
Yeah, Mark. I think it's like a parallax version of Kubrick.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I haven't seen it in action. I mean, there's that sort of journalist, journal type look to it, where you have the sidebar on the left and then the content on the right, but it's not totally the Kubrick look. It's more modern.
Right.
Modern journal type approach. I like it, and I think so far the feedback is a lot of people like it as well. But we'll have to see once it gets added into 4.1, which may be around October 25th from what I'm seeing, that'll be the time when we'll be able to play around with it as it gets added to the trunk of core. We'll be able to mess around with the test versions and play around with it and give you a report on that. But good luck to John Blackburn. And interesting to see how it goes for him. This is his first time leading a release, so he's in the trenches now. And good luck to him, but he's surrounded by a lot of great people. And at least at WordCamp Europe, he had the chance to talk to at least two or three individuals that have already gone through the process of leading a WordPress release. So I'm sure he's got his feet under him, and he's going to be heads down and rocking and rolling.
Yeah, you want to take a pool and, or maybe a poll rather. Maybe we can pool it. What's going to be the name of the next WordPress release? What jazz singer will it be named after?
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you because I don't listen to jazz. I'm not big into jazz. Now, if it was pizza shops, no. Hey,
yeah.
Now we got something there, but that's for Buddy Press, as we found out last week.
That's right.
So the end of an era.
Domino. That's the one.
It's the end of an era. Ben Gilbanks. Who does the website Binary Moon, has announced the end of Tim Thumb. Now, this may not be a big surprise to a lot of people out there because there hasn't been really much in the way of updates to the script, but Ben Gilbanks finally pulled the plug and is no longer supporting the script. Now, for those of you longtime listeners on the show, will probably remember that back in 2011, Tim Thumb made headlines in a bad way when a major security vulnerability was discovered and used to hack into several thousand, perhaps millions of websites. And to this day, websites are still being scanned, and some of them are still being exploited with the Tim Thumb vulnerability. And what Tim Thumb is, it's a script that allows you to do resizing of images and things of that nature within WordPress. So that's the end of Tim Thumb. If you use Tim Thumb in a theme, get rid of it. There are better alternatives now. In fact, Ben mentions in a post that he doesn't use Tim Thumb anymore. He actually uses the imaging resizing options in the WordPress itself. So WordPress pretty much can do everything Tim Thumb does. The only bad thing about this, I saw today that WooThemes, which pretty much used Tim Thumb in just about every one of their themes, announced that they were going to be pulling it out. And unfortunately, as part of that move, those who use some WooThemes themes that use Tim Thumb will lose their featured images. That's a bummer. I'm not sure if they somehow they can work around that or what, but that's ouch. You know, that's
like an
drag.
Opportunity for some sort of an import plugin or export or something like that.
Yeah, something like, I don't know if regenerate thumbnails would work or what. I think they said you would have to go through each post and manually reassign the featured image to the post. So not good there. And I'm sure it's not the only one. There's a lot of themes out there that utilize Tim Thumb, and that's just, I think, one of the casualties in the process of losing featured images. That's a bad move. But you know, one of the reasons why he killed the script is, and this is, I can't relate to him, but I can only imagine that managing a script that's responsible for thousands of websites being hacked That probably doesn't feel good. That's probably something you have to live with every day and is a huge weight on your shoulders, and that's something he addressed in the announcement post. And that's just by discontinuing the script and knowing that most of it's in core now, this is probably a huge weight lifted off his shoulders, and he no longer has to worry about it.
Yeah, it's like inventing Skynet on the Terminator. It's like, oops, I didn't mean to blow everything up.
So end of an era there, and good luck to Ben on whatever he does. And
By the way, I just want to say, Jeff, too, that anybody who has a theme that's still using this, it's probably time to upgrade themes anyway, because if you've got a version that still support, if you've got a theme version that still supports these things, your theme author is not keeping up to date with the times here. So I would imagine you would probably see the most active amongst theme developers start to find replacements for this if they're relying on Tim Thumb. If not, you want to check on updating to a new theme anyway.
Not only that, but themes that some people have installed but maybe are not activated. You know, some people could have 10, 12, 20 themes installed but not activated. Even those, if they're using Tim Thumb and a new vulnerability is discovered, your site could still be exploited through that vulnerability, even though the theme is not activated if you're not using it. That's right. What happened to Yoast Valk, actually, back when the sites were being exploited with the hack. He had forgot a particular site that used a theme, a Woo theme, that had Tim Thumb on it, and next thing you know, the site was offline. So,
yeah, I like to live by the sailboat philosophy in WordPress, which is only carry as much weight as you absolutely need in that thing. So
that's the first time I've heard an analogy like that. It's pretty good. That's a good one.
I've got a sailboat, so it holds true. But that's seriously though. Don't keep any plugins that you don't need. Don't keep any themes around that you don't need. It's just open doors that can be exploited by those who just mean you harm.
Exactly. That's a pretty good analogy. I have to remember that. Too much weight and a sailboat will end up underwater.
or slow, one of the two.
So, Marcus, tell us about this GoDaddy and Media Temple partnership with WP 101.
Well, GoDaddy and Media Temple are in partnership with WP 101. They have developed a new plugin called Sidekick. And I actually experienced this while working on a client domain that was hosted at GoDaddy, and didn't even really understand what it is I was looking at or how that plugin happened to get there. But it installed, and it essentially on the lower left, it said, need help, and you click that, and it's got a number of, I happened to be on the plugin screen when I clicked need help, and it talked about installing a plugin and getting things going. So it's a very nice, you know, WP 101 style base level tutorial for people that are new to WordPress. So I'm anxious to see how this advances, whether they're going to get into more expert topics or things like that, or at least make it so that certain specific areas of WordPress aren't touched by the novice. At least they give that disclaimer. So I applaud it. It's great that everybody's kind of coming on board with embedded tutorials in the sense of right within the WordPress admin dashboard.
So Sean Hesketh, who is the founder of WP 101, created this partnership with GoDaddy and Media Temple, which, by the way, are owned by the same company, so that makes sense. There's a 20-part WordPress 101 video tutorial series that customers of those hosts can access right within the WordPress dashboard, so it gives them help right where they need it. It makes the most sense when you need to access it. And I'm thinking that this is a great partnership. It's a win-win situation because, more exposure and for WP 101 and Sean, of course, to all those customers, but B, for the web host, they now don't have to create this documentation or they have great access to videos, tutorials, and explanations for their customers. And as their customers hopefully go through these tutorials, they'll learn the basics of how WordPress works and perhaps decrease the amount of simple support queries on their support systems, and maybe that will give them more time and dedication and be able to give more resources to the more demanding or more difficult support queries on the web host. So overall, just a win-win situation. And what I think is interesting is that you look at the words, and this is something I think you could talk about, is the WordPress training landscape. It's huge. As WordPress continues to grow, the demand, the WordPress training sector or vertical, whatever you want to call it, that market is huge. There are WordPress trainers and coaches and these programs and video tutorials everywhere. This is just an excellent way for Sean to sort of differentiate himself with his content from all of the other WordPress trainers out there, and I just think it's a great business move that he's pulled off.
Absolutely. I appreciate GoDaddy actually going above and beyond as far as their involvement in WordPress to begin with. Once they launched, and I think I was the one that broke the story on WP Tavern last summer, where they were starting to do WordPress managed hosting. And since then, they've really engaged with the whole community. They've done a lot within WordCamps as far as sponsorships go. I think they're also involved in, is it Pressnomics, I think?
Yes.
As far as being a sponsor, so they're pretty engaged, and that's great. I love to see that with every single host that there is.
And I can't wait to, in the interview I did with him, I asked Sean, and he gave WP Tavern all the details on how this strategic deal came about, and he had mentioned that he had spoken with some members very high up at GoDaddy, and they were explaining to him what they were doing to try and right the ship that is of the Bob Parsons era of mm-hmm. GoDaddy. And based on that and his experience over there and what he sees them doing, that was one of the primary reasons he engaged in this partnership or even agreed to do it with GoDaddy. And I think at some point I'd like to get some representatives on from GoDaddy, either the vice president or the CEO, on the show and just sort of explain to us how they're going through this process of righting the ship and trying to change the persona of what GoDaddy is, you know, versus what it was versus what it is today and what it wants to become in the future and you know, what kind of, you know, troubles they're going through to sort of right the ship.
Yeah, well, I have some contacts over there, so I'll try and make that happen.
We'll see what happens there. So congrats, Sean, on the partnership, and we'll see if other web hosts can have similar types of partnerships and give those resources to their customers. So with that said, hey, speaking of plugins, our guest on the line all the way from Singapore knows a thing or two about plugins. His name is Lester Gamers Chan, Gamers being his nickname. He resides in Singapore, and he loves gadgets, which is why he replaces his phone every year. During his free time, he watches movies, supports his various WordPress plugins, and plays sports. Now, get this. He's registered 23 different plugins to the WordPress.org plugin repository, amassing an incredible total download count of 12,241,325 exclamation point. That's 1.6% of all downloads in the plugin repository history. That is that's pretty neat stat story that you came up with, Marcus. And Lester, thank you very much for joining us on the show 12 hours ahead of time.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So this is you've been somebody I've followed. You're one of my favorite plugin authors. When I got involved in WordPress, geez, saying this now, 6-7 years ago, back in the WordPress 2.2, 2.3 days, I think it's those around the versions I came across, I discovered your plugins, and it was WP this, WP that. You know, I ended up, at one time, I was probably using 6 or 7 of your plugins, so it's just finally great to have you on the show.
Yeah, so I've been WordPress for like, I checking my WordPress.org forum account like 11 years, since September 18, 2003.
Wow. That is way back.
Yeah.
So a pioneer for sure, absolutely. That's not, Jeff, rarely do we talk to somebody who goes that far back.
he almost goes so far back he probably helped with the plugin architecture.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
So Lester, how did you? Let's go back to the beginning. When did you start using WordPress? Was it back there in 2003?
I think it's even before 2003, where before WordPress was known as V2.
Yes.
Yeah. So I started from V2. So I started creating my personal website as part of my school assignment. So it was all static HTML pages. So I want to make it something more dynamic. So V2 is something that's very lightweight and sort of popular at that time, I guess. So I decided to give it a try. So once V2 stopped development, ended development, so basically WordPress was forked from V2. So there are a couple of forks, but eventually, I don't know why, I just go with WordPress.
And so, yeah. Are you satisfied with that choice? Are you glad you went with WordPress?
Yes, I'm so glad that I went with WordPress.
No regrets.
No regrets. Totally no regrets.
So I'm just wondering, how did you come up with the how did you get the nickname Gamers?
My first nickname I used to play was Destroyer, so it's kind of a lame nickname. So I used to play a lot of CS last time, so I guess Gamers sounds pretty cool. I don't know, it just pops out my head. Gamer and a Zach. Gamer is probably taken more or less, so I have a Zach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you play a lot of games?
Yeah, I used to, but not now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, kind of stuck with you.
Yeah, it kind of stuck with me. So right now, I'm trying to change all my usernames to Lester Chan, right now, Gamers. Mm-hmm. If I still can
personal
get some
branding.
Of yeah, personal branding.
So what's the WordPress scene like in Singapore? I've never been there. In fact, I've never left the United States, its borders. just tell us what it's like there.
I think the WordPress scene is buzzing. Of course, I can... it's buzzing. More people are realizing what WordPress can do for them. I think even some government agencies also started to use WordPress. So in terms of meetup and stuff, our meetup is growing actually. So we have a WordPress meetup a couple of years back, which is very frequent. Then after that, it stopped for a while because everybody got busy with their own life. Then we are trying to bring it back, and the attendance is pretty good. We used to get about 10. On the last meetup in September, we got about 30. So when Matt was doing an Asia tour, sort of, Matt Mullenweg came to Singapore. So we hosted him, and we have about 200 people attended his talk in Microsoft Singapore, which is sponsoring us the location.
So that's what you need to get people, Matt.
Yeah, he came. Yeah,
that always works.
Yeah, so he came. So we are trying to revive the meetup every time, but we're trying to get more non-technical sharing session instead, because when we realized that meetup. There are more people looking for developers than actually WordPress developers themselves. So, yeah. So, we are trying to make it into a more balanced topics as well as balanced audience by selecting topics and stuff.
Interesting. So, you're saying that people are kind of using meetups in Singapore as kind of a recruiting pool?
Correct.
To go to?
Yes, correct. More at freelancing. They want to, like, they have this project and they can't find any freelancer. So they probably go to sort of user group events and stuff to look for people to do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'd love to see that happen here in the United States as well.
It doesn't happen
around
there?
The world. No, not so much. I would think that most of the meetup groups, at least the ones that I've attended, tend to be more tutorials for people that are either, you know, novices at it or some in my local Orange County group, where there are a lot of prominent people, we alternate every 2 weeks. So there's a developer day, and then there's general day.
Yeah, well, I've thought that if you have people that are trying to get clients or they're going to these meetups because they know there are people there that can either do this client work for them or they're hiring people or poaching people, that's like the antithesis of what these WordPress meetups are all about. I think that action sort of frowned upon.
Yeah. So it's,
that's why
so
it doesn't really happen so much here in the U.S. at the meetups I've attended.
Yeah. So I don't know whether it's a good or bad thing yet, but at least there's people coming, so it's not that bad. And they know what WordPress is, actually.
What's that?
So at least there's like people coming. We have a couple of 30-plus, so there's quite a number of people that's coming in. So it's about, like, 10 or 20 people looking for developers. But at least they are looking for WordPress developers, so they know what WordPress can do for them.
So guys that are WordPress developers, they kind of clean up, huh?
Yeah, it's quite, to be honest, it's quite hard to find a WordPress developer in Singapore, at least. there are a lot of companies, but I don't think they come cheap. So a lot of people choose to go with freelancer instead.
Yeah.
Do you know if do you know very many companies that are using WordPress, but they're using like a US-based WordPress agency, since we seem to have either US or Europe-based, because there seems to be a lot of WordPress agencies in those areas.
Yeah, normally I'm not too sure whether any has actually used them. Whenever they ask me for recommendations, I always recommend them like web dev studios and stuff from US.
Oh, okay.
I'm not too sure whether did they go ahead and go up with them.
Wow, so it seems like if a WordPress entrepreneur wants to start up an agency, Singapore, it sounds like the hotspot.
Yep. If you can get people, definitely. I can always recommend. I get pretty much a lot of like people asking for recommendation stuff on a day-to-day basis.
So Lester's the gatekeeper for WordPress in Singapore.
That's what it sounds like.
More like ambassador, I guess.
Ah, there you go.
That's a better term. So Lester, yeah. When Matt came and visited and he did that presentation, which it seems like it was more like a conversation with the community there.
Correct.
Is there anything you took away from that meeting? Is there anything that just sort of popped out at you?
The thing that the takeaway which I always thought is, he also said about how Automattic works and how WordPress is being run. It's the distributed company culture. Automattic. It's like Automattic is a good place to work in. So a lot of my friends, after Matt Talk, they basically applied for Automattic as a happiness engineer.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we just talked about that. Everybody goes to recruit WordPress.
Matt comes in and says, hey, this is what we do. This is awesome. Automatic's just a great place to work. And next thing you know, everyone leaves the room, gets off their laptops, puts in the application.
So I think I think Automattic hired a couple of engineers as well, happiness engineers. I think the latest one is in Indonesia and one in Malaysia.
That's pretty cool. That's incredible. So I mean, was that your first opportunity to see Matt in person?
Yes, that's my first time. I knew Matt since B2 days when he started the fork with Mike Little on the WordPress platform out of B2. So that's the first time I met him face to face. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, I think I saw on Twitter or somewhere a screenshot of you, a selfie with Matt, and that was a pretty cool picture.
Yeah, that's a Marina Bay Sands. I tried to take a picture with any guys I met. Like, I went to Washington, I met up with Nathan, Andrew Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a picture with him as well.
And speaking of Washington, when you made the trip here, I remember it was back in the winter of last year.
Yes.
And since you live in Singapore, we were talking about this off the air. It's hot there all year round. There's no winter
for
Singapore. That was your first opportunity when you visited Washington to see snow, and you said you love it. But let me tell you, when you got to live with it, it's not so great.
I guess the grass is always greener on the other side.
Well, the grass is always green in Singapore, I know that much.
It's always red or shine here. And it's good to have a varying temperature, I guess. It's like 30 degrees Celsius almost all day round in Singapore.
And it's hot.
Yeah, it's hot, and the humidity is like, what, 94%? It kills you.
So what did you think of the snow? I mean, did you pick it up? Did you throw it? Did you taste it?
I don't know. I pick it up, I throw it. In fact, I think I have most of my snow in basically Boston.
Yeah,
Boston has lots of snow. Stay around it, took some pictures of it.
Now, wait a minute. Now, living in Singapore, it's hot there. So when did you get winter gear? I mean, were you out in T-shirt and everything in the snow? I mean, how did that work?
Not really, actually. I am quite resistant to cold. So when I was in New York, I will probably get a T-shirt and just wear an outer jacket and jeans and shoes.
Man, you're hardcore, man.
Yeah. I'm surprised that I can take that strong winter, like minus 10 degrees Celsius. So in Singapore, I always wear T-shirts and shorts and slippers. It's the usual thing to do.
So have you ever thought about, have you ever attended, speaking of WordCamp San Francisco, that seems like the big one. And one of these times, if you visit or go to WordCamp San Francisco, I'll probably get the chance to meet you for the first time, because that's where I'm going in October. Marcus, you'll be going there as well this year.
That's right.
Yeah, you're cool for you going. Most likely this year I will not be here, but I try to make it in the next year.
Well, there's always the stream for you, Lester. That's one thing, last week we talked to Andrea Middleton, and
I know
that a couple of years ago when I couldn't attend, I loved it because I could actually watch the stream. And that's something that Andrea actually last week talked about, that they might be actually putting every WordCamp as far as streaming capability goes. So I look forward to seeing you at a WordCamp one of these days, watching, you know, the Singapore WordCamp. That would be great.
Next year. I hope it comes that comes true next year. We are targeting one for next year WordCamp.
Yeah. Singapore. Great.
Yep.
Yeah, me and Lester will find out where the streaming cameras are, and we'll photobomb them, we'll video bomb them, or stream bomb them, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So Lester, between, you know, you decided over the years, you've developed and released so many plugins for free, and I don't remember you ever sort of trying to make a business out of them, having a commercial product or start charging for support or anything of that nature. Why all those years did you decide, you know, not try and make a business out of it, or did you try?
Actually, I didn't really try. I'm not really a business person, so I don't really try to make a living out of my plugins. I just do it. I would treat it as a hobby. So I don't charge for support, but I do charge for, like, small little customization that you want out of my plugins. Used to, at least used to. Since now I have a full-time job, that leaves me not much time to do some of this stuff anymore.
You know, that's an interesting model that I've seen more and more developers do, where they release a plugin that is sort of like a canvas, and then they give specific options for add-ons, and then they give, you know, for a fee, and then they also have it to where you can apply for customization, you know, through the developer themselves. And that's a very interesting model that's not exactly the paid model in the traditional sense, yet there is an opportunity. And by the way, Lester, I did a fun little stat. There's an American phrase, and I'm sure there's, you know, it's all over the world. If I had a nickel for every download, you know, I'd be a rich man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, you would have $626,000.
So without, you make a little bit of money doing customizations, and I know that... what about donations? If you add up your 23 different plugins and they all probably have a donation button on the repo, have you made would you consider maybe sizable chunk, or is it really not that much?
It's not that much. I guess over the years, my donations probably can get to probably about 3 or 4 MacBook Airs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all. I don't really get much donation these days. I guess I'm not really as active as compared to last time.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, there are more choices for consumers these days. I always believe in choices, as in, my plugin may not be the right one for you, but I believe there are other plugins out there that suits your needs more than mine.
Well, as I said, one of the plugins I use and have used for the longest time is WP Polls. And that's that's a pretty cool plugin because it allows me to edit choices, add choices. It has bar graphs, and I just set the poll ID into the post, and boom, it shows up right there, and it works, and it's great. And you know, there's been a couple points over the course of the site's history where I've thought about maybe switching over to
Poll Daddy
or another one of these different services, but they don't have an option to import data from the polls I've done with WP Polls. So if I can't have that history with all the polls and the data, then there's no sense in moving. That's why I'm still using your plugin.
Oh.
And, of course, it works, and I have no problems with it.
Yeah. So there's another popular poll plugin I realized is YOP Poll, I think. That's also gaining quite some popularity, and it's quite a lot of feature pack as well.
So what are your thoughts on all these plugins that try and put in the kitchen sink instead of, I mean, do you have a development process or a thought process or maybe a philosophy on plugins, at least, that you've attributed to your own work?
Most of my plugin inspiration basically comes from forums back in the B2 days. So I was a huge fan of vBulletin and InVision bots. So at the time, I'm still a student, so I can't afford paying like $200 a year for a license and stuff.
That was vBulletin for you.
Yeah, vBulletin. So basically, I see what I like their functionality, like paging system. That's why I come up with PageNavi. I like the polls in the threads. So that's the reason why I come up with polls in my plugin and ratings and views as well. So all this are basic features that you can find in actually forums software itself. So that's why that's basically my thought and my ideas that came from when creating a plugin. And some of them, of course, I need it myself. Like my DB manager, I need to back up my database regularly. So I just create one and just share it.
Yeah. So at what point because you've made 23 different plugins. I mean, that's more than anybody that I've ever talked to. At what point do you go, okay, it's ready to put on the repository? It's ready.
The thing is, it's never ready. So once it's like relative bug free and I tested it myself, there's unit testing, but I haven't gone into that path yet. If I tested it myself and it works all right, I would try to put in repository. And that's where support is very important. So I will always check the WordPress support even to today about bugs as well as reports from your users to see what is broken and what is not. So I think the WordPress support forums is a good place to hunt for bugs actually in your own plugin. Yeah.
And so what do you think about the community's interaction or maybe lack thereof of how they interact with plugins, either by reviews or ratings or things like that, in relation to how many downloads you get?
I think review is a good way to gauge the plugin. Downloads is basically, if you set up like 10 sites, you probably have 10 extra downloads. Review is a good way, but not many people actually leave reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's like iOS App Store. I don't really leave a review after that. And it's always people, and if something broke, then you will leave a review. It's always a negative review that people will leave behind rather than positive reviews, actually. Or rather, the negative review will cover over the positive reviews.
Do you think that, I know on my iPhone, you know, every now and again as I'm using an app, it'll say, you know, will you review us? Would you give us a nice review?
Do you think that's
a policy that might adhere well within plugins as well that are in the repository?
I'm not too sure about that, but what I see with trying is support question. At the end of every support question, they say, if you like my plugin and my support, you can leave us a good feedback and a review plugin. Rather than in the plugin itself, I saw some plugins does that, but I think most of the people will just ignore it.
Yeah.
I think the best place to ask for a review is actually the forums. So when people post a question about support, you reply to them and maybe ask them your feedback. If you like my feedback, you like my plugin, leave me a good review. It costs you nothing.
Yeah, that's a great policy to do, even in a signature of emails or something like that, a link to where to leave a review in the repository.
Yes, correct.
Hey, did I give you a good experience? Are you happy? Okay, hurry up and take that happiness and write a review, because let's savor the moment. Now, Lester, you had mentioned WP DB Manager, which is one of your plugins, and we had a listener question. They wanted to know if you have any plans to expand the plugin to backup themes, plugins, or anything else.
Actually, not really, because DB, as the name sounds, I want to focus on just database alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure there are other plugins that basically backups your static content files and stuff. Oh, unfortunately, not at the moment, unless till I get a lot of requests.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of plugins, free and especially commercial, that'll take care of all that. So I'm actually pleased to hear you come up with that answer, because I'm sure if you wanted to, you could just add onto it. And just, you know, instead of DB Manager, it'd be Ultimate Kitchen Sink, could do backup anything you want type of plugin. But instead, I like the fact that you want to keep it focused and keep it doing what it does, and it does it well, actually. It's a specific focus plugin.
Yes, correct.
I like that.
Thanks.
So why did you and we already covered this, but as a plugin author, what is your take on the debate surrounding, you know, and we've seen this covered this many times, we've talked about this many times on the show, this debate around what should be in a theme versus what should be in a plugin. Any thoughts on that, and where is the line drawn for you?
Where is the line drawn for me? That's a tricky question. For me, a plugin is a functionality that you're... So, let me think. Okay, my latest project basically on my current company. So basically, we are doing some sort of voting system. So I guess the voting capability as well as the functionality should be in a plugin. And when how do you display the plugin content into your team? It should be in a team, as in visual versus functionality.
So pretty much functionality, but you know, functionality in the plugin, but styling that functionality in the theme.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
So I believe teams should be lightweight, because nowadays I see teams are getting heavier and heavier and getting the file size getting bigger and bigger. And the learning curve of a team, so I think one of my wife's agencies, so basically they buy teams, like Team Forest or stuff. Once you install a team, I was like, how do I use this team? There's a very steep learning curve for getting a team to work. Whereas for plugins, I think it's slightly easier. You just activate the plugin, read the instructions, and just put in your team, and that's it.
Well, it doesn't help when the theme you're downloading from ThemeForest is likely a multi-purpose theme with 16
yes.
sliders, this
yes,
20
correct.
Options, supports 5, 15 plugins. You know, it comes with a 120-page manual.
Yes, that's just a two-step learning curve.
And that's a great market that's emerging more and more.
Correct,
that
all in one.
People are going on ThemeForest, buying themes, picking it apart, and going, how can I make a plugin do this instead?
Yeah. I guess, I wonder, is it maybe in the future you can bundle themes and suggested plugins and themes together? A theme should work without a plugin. That means a theme should work well by itself without needing any plugin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no theme should be hindered by a plugin. I mean, nothing should break. You know, the theme should not break.
Correct.
Just because you disabled or removed a plugin. I mean, that's not good at all.
Correct. And a team should not be. I personally think a team should not be that bloated. Yeah.
So you've been around WordPress since the B2 days. That's way back. You've had an opportunity to work with WordPress and you know through the plugin architecture for a long yep. time, almost yep. since the existence of WordPress. What are your thoughts on WordPress then and WordPress now? Do you like where it's headed, and anything on the horizon that excites you, at least from a plugin developer's perspective?
Okay. So when I first started with B2, there's no such thing as filters and actions in the core API of WordPress. It's basically hex. So you basically find this line, modify this line. So I'm glad that WordPress actually evolves to a action and filters thing where you can basically call functions and filter the output and stuff. So over the years, my next thing that really excites me is the JSON API.
Oh, yeah, I knew it. I could have predicted you saying that.
Yeah. So I wish, the last I checked, I think it might be in 4.2 rather than 4.1.
That's the rumblings I'm hearing.
Yeah, so I think that's exposed us to a lot of potential for at least native apps. So a native app basically can call a JSON call to your blog to get to this. To display a more fanciful RSS reader, I would say. So,
go ahead.
Okay. So basically, also they may like, if, for example, if you need a registered site, when you're on your mobile, when you sign up, you can basically call an API to WordPress to create a user account so that you can log in on, a person logging on your app is actually also logging on your site as well.
Yeah, and I'm just, the whole JSON API, when you start adding endpoints everywhere, I'm just really curious to see the types of themes that are created, how the plugins utilize it, and like you said, some of these apps that are going to be built that only take and use and access specific parts that they need in order to function, and they don't have to use everything else.
Correct. So, in fact, I think maybe in the future, perhaps when I talk to Nathan, the WordPress admin itself will be one JavaScript application which communicates with the backend in PHP to JSON.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
One JavaScript install. Huh.
So basically your team can be just a single JavaScript app and basically communicates with the backend to get all your posts, everything through JSON API rather than PHP calls in the function calls.
So this sounds like, you know, the move towards JSON and using JavaScript would support the notion that at some point in the future, 90% of WordPress development will be JavaScript-based.
Yes. I think it's getting popular, but I'm not too sure whether in the future there will be 90%.
I mean, in terms of the types of development work that's going on in WordPress, right. I think we'll see less and less PHP stuff and more
on the JavaScript side of things. Yeah. I guess PHP has reached to a point that it's really very mature. It's stable enough. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, it might be stable enough, but we just got to get the web hosts on board to update their systems.
Yes. Yes, you also have PHP questions.
So those that are listening to us, especially those young people from around the world that are would-be developers, theme developers, plugin developers, you would strongly encourage them, I would guess, to take Java and learn Java in and out, correct?
JavaScript.
Yeah.
JavaScript, which is JavaScript. Different than Java, right?
JavaScript, sorry.
Yeah, both different, yep.
Sorry. Anything else that a young developer would probably want to pay attention to?
I would say JavaScript, PHP, I would say do what you like.
Yeah.
Do what you like. That's the most important. If you do something you like, you enjoy the process of doing it. Start off with your personal pet project, what I started off, and slowly learn from it.
Yeah, and how did you come up with your own personal style when you first started out, you know, over a decade ago?
Personal style. Okay, my personal, as I mentioned before, that it was basically come from forums and stuff. So I want the blog to be to have a forum-like features. That's where my inspiration comes in.
Uh-huh.
To have interacting with the audience, the votes, the ratings, the view counts. So once I learned the basic stuff, so I won't go towards backend like database manager. And now I'm doing some. Now I also released a draft for friends, which is basically allow you to send a link to your friend to preview a post. So I started off with very front-facing functionality. Then I moved towards more back-end type of functionalities, I would say.
Did you do development your way or what you thought was best, or did you try and implement the what we know as the WordPress way?
For my older plugin and stuff, it works, so I don't really intend to change much of the architecture because it's been so long ago. But going forward, like, I will try to implement the WordPress way using proper OO and stuff. So if you can see my latest plugin, like Draft of Friends, the code is totally different from my previous generation of codes. Of course, it's more efficient and it's more readable.
Excellent, because there's been this topic as of late as, you know, everyone's the Wild West, you know, open source is the Wild West, and people are going to create plugins because it scratches an itch and they're going to create it and it's a learning opportunity, but a lot of times they'll do it in their way, which may not always be the best way. And also this notion of whether the WordPress way is the best way.
Best practice, I guess, is the best practice.
And that's probably a better way of saying it, WordPress best practice.
Yes, best practice. I think it's like the industry, sort of the industry center, I guess. I mean, so many people doing something, it's not as bad. It's not that bad.
So all these plugins, I know the WordPress.org offers you a support forum for every single plugin. How have you been able to manage the support load? Do you utilize what WordPress.org gives you, or have you? Because I know back in the day, you used to have your own forum on your site, which is what I used to get support.
Yeah, I moved off of it. So basically, right now, I disable registration so that some old topics still can be indexed by Google. So right now, all the support question that I have is basically on the WordPress.org support forums. So I do check it every morning and every afternoon, every night, so about 3 times a day.
And with everything that WordPress.org gives you or in what they have to offer, is there anything you could offer in terms of improvements? Because you have 23 different plugins. I mean, is it hard to manage all those?
In terms of support, it's still all right, but I wish there are more functionality in the forums. Like, basically, I have no idea why they don't allow signature in the forums. Signature, I think, is a good way to tell people to look for a certain FAQ before actually posting a forum. I think you should be able to close a topic in your own forum. Right now, I think only the moderators can close the topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish there's more like functionalities for me to manage to rather curate the threads in the forums.
And at the very least, do you have the capability to mark a topic as resolved?
Yes, I have that. I have that capability. I just can't close the topic.
Well, at least you got that going for you. You can mark them as resolved.
So basically,
are there any things from even like a user perspective that you think the repository, in the way that users are interact, what improvements that you'd like to see there?
To be honest, I don't really use much of WordPress repository to do my development. I do it on GitHub, then I sync it over to WordPress.
Yeah. So but in terms of like a normal user that would be the person that downloads, they all have a profile, everybody logs in, but there's really no way to interact or share your favorite plugins lists or things like that. I mean, are there things like that that you'd like to see involved in the repository?
I have no comments on that because the profile page of when people stumble upon the WordPress.org, either they are downloading stuff or they're asking for support. I'm not too sure how much time they will spend actually like sharing their favorite plugins. I don't think it's a community that they will hang around. They only will go there when they have problems. Yeah. At least that's my personal thought.
And they only go there to give bad reviews.
Yeah, bad reviews, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen plugins out there that you can install that you can put anybody's username in there and get their favorites list of their plugins and install them with one click. So the functionality is there in the repository. It's just not being utilized.
I was reading about this like a couple of weeks back. One of the plugin bundles or something?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you probably read it on the Tavern, and there's several different services out there that allow you to sign up for an account, you create plugin bundles, and you save them to your account. Other people can see what you're using. And,
yes, correct.
And actually, they can use a key and install everything from a different user's bundle, so they can install all their plugins. Now, I know that the WordPress.org repository, you can mark plugins as favorites, but there currently is no way to bulk install them or share them with other people. You can't install somebody else's list of favorite plugins, which
you can. There is a plugin to do it.
In WordPress.org?
Username. Yes, absolutely. I'll dig that out as we're talking here, but there is a way that you can have your favorites, and you just put your favorite, your name, your username in, or anybody's username in, and it will show their favorites.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to mark every one of Lester's plugins as my favorite and have everybody download those.
There you go. There you go.
I got to help a brother out.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit before we wrap it up here.
Yep.
Back on September 1st, you became the tech guy for the Tech in Asia website after working at MIG for about 4.5 years. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And what is that website about, and what does it mean to be the tech guy?
So basically, Tech in Asia is media. Technically, it's a media website. So we cover stories on startups. We have events to network startups and investors together. So of course, Tech in Asia runs on WordPress. So that's why I was hired for the job. So the tech guy basically does everything related to the website. So when I first joined the company, it's on a single instance. It's really technical, so a single DigitalOcean instance. So my first job was to scale it up. As in, move it out of a single server to multiple web servers, load balancer, and database. So after that is done, we have a relative stable base. Basically, we have to do some custom features like a premium account, upvoting system. So it's still very WordPress-centric in a sense.
And it's that sounds like a job that's right up your alley. I mean, have you been happy with it?
I'm very happy.
The nuts and bolts of trying to make things work and make things better.
I'm very happy about it. Then you will realize that because the Tech in Asia has been around for a bit, so there are a lot of plugins that are being used over the years, and you realize that how many plugins doesn't actually clean up their own. They don't clean up their own options after they basically you deactivate them or you uninstall them.
Oh yes, I brought that issue up years ago. You know, I was flabbergasted when I went inside the database of WordPress and I started seeing these tables. I'm like, what's going on here? What is this to? Oh, it turns out that when you deactivate and delete up the plugins files, it left a lot of garbage behind. And we've been getting, some plugins have been getting better about this, but it's still, there's still a lot of things, garbage and tables left behind.
Yep, so you actually need somebody to actually clean it up. So basically, I went on. I Skype a link. As in, I pasted in the podcast chat room a link. So on TechNation, we have about 6,000 roles in the options table. So I cleaned it up to down to 192 roles.
Wow, that's incredible.
Then you will see. You will notice that the database traffic immediately dropped by half.
Hmm.
Immediately, yeah.
So you had 6,000 rows in the options table, and that's just from, is that from a couple of plugins, or is that from, how many plugins are they using?
They are using 70 over plugins when I first joined. I managed to cut it down to 35.
Hmm. Wow.
Yep. Wow. So some of the plugins, you clean out a lot of stuff. So it's a good cleanup. It's a painful process, but it's very rewarding.
Well, when the site's loading better and they see it's faster and it's more responsive, I think you'll go into work and people will smile at you.
yeah, and now it can handle like a few more than 500 concurrent users. Before that, when there was like 500 concurrent users, you have to restart the server.
So in terms of media companies and size and things of that nature, is Tech in Asia, is that a very large, well-visited website?
Yeah, it's one of the very popular websites in Singapore in terms of startup and tech technology news.
Okay, so it's kind of like maybe the TechCrunch of Singapore?
I would say TechCrunch. Yeah, that's a good gauge.
Okay.
Or rather, Asia. We don't just cover Singapore news, cover mostly Asian news.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so that's incredible. I mean, now that you're able to work on a very large, high-trafficked website, does this give you an opportunity to learn things or do things that maybe you didn't have the opportunity to do before, especially when it comes to scaling and really, really making WordPress tick, getting the most out of it?
Yes, that's correct. When you have a large site, you basically can do something and you can actually test it to see how well it performs. You know actually where are the pain points to optimize it so that you can scale. So in some of the plugins I did also I tried to make it as optimized as possible.
And so far with the Tech in Asia website, have you run into any roadblocks that WordPress has specifically that you just are hurdles that you just can't get over yet because of maybe its architecture or whatnot?
Yes. We just encountered something. Okay, with regards to the JSON API that I mentioned earlier. So right now there's no API call for a user to register to WordPress, to your WordPress using a JSON API. So you can't do you can't do user registration on your mobile phone and you create an account on your WordPress site.
Okay. So you're saying there's no like endpoint for it yet to do that.
All right, there's no endpoint for it yet.
So once you do that, you'll be able to register users right from mobile. And I have to imagine, what are the mobile stats? Have you seen the stats in terms of usage for Tech in Asia? Is it predominantly mobile?
Let me check right now.
I mean, because we hear about automatics going towards a mobile-first-centric philosophy and everything they do with creating new products going forward. And I know that mobile use is incredibly high, especially throughout Asia and China and areas over there.
Yes, in Asia, mobile is pretty high. So let's see, about 50% of traffic are all mobile and tablets.
That's half the traffic. That's pretty big chunk.
That's half the traffic. And in terms of iOS and Android, it's about 50-50%. It's quite evenly. I'm surprised it's quite evenly spread out.
So even more imperative that endpoint gets created so that people can create accounts. Half of the traffic can create accounts through the mobile device.
Yes, correct. So when they create accounts, yeah, we can put they choose some whatever categories they're interested in. We can basically customize the news delivery to their phones.
So that's an interesting stat that you brought up, though. That even though half your traffic is mobile, of that half, that's divided again in half between iOS
and Android.
Android.
Yeah.
So when you make that leap to get into mobile, you've got to cater to both devices if you're going to get in that pool at all.
Correct. So we have to cater for both devices.
It's like the PC and Mac debate all over again.
Yes, correct. Yep.
Well, at least there's, iOS is probably a bit easier to cater for because there's only like 600 versions of Android. But anyways, it sounds like that job is right up your alley. It's something you're happy with, and again, congratulations. And
thank you.
I know you've got you mentioned one of your newest plugins. Is there anything you're working on currently that you just haven't released yet?
I'm working on a rough edge. It's basically an upvoting plugin.
Okay.
So basically, like Hacker News from Y Combination. There's an algorithm to calculate the ranking of the news. So I went to Google yesterday and found it. So I might want to create an upvote plugin. So when you upvote the news, it will calculate that based on the time of the news is posted as well as the points.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I've seen a lot of people requesting upvoting type plugin based on Reddit. You know, on yes. Reddit, I see people request that, or maybe on a Hacker News. So once you release that plugin, and it's been tested, it's on the repo, send me an email. I'd like to check it out.
Sure. Once I get it tested in my company's website, I'll send it out.
Yes, test it on your company's website first before you put it on the repository.
Of course, the staging website first.
So Les, I just want to say it's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thanks.
Like I said,
thanks for having me.
You've been sort of my, as an end user, you've sort of been sort of like my hero a little bit because you've had so many awesome plugins that I found useful to my website. You know, at one time I was using probably about 7 of them. So it's pretty cool. It's like Lester's all over my website.
Nice.
So that's really cool. And I hope that the WordPress scene in Singapore increases. And we definitely need some more developers.
Yes, we definitely need more developers. There's definitely more developers.
So what? How can people get a hold of you or keep tabs on you in terms of your WordPress work?
Actually, I post quite regularly. Actually, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm quite active on Twitter. That's how I think most of people follow me on to keep tabs on me with regards to WordPress.
And what is your Twitter handle?
Gamers, GAMERZ.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And your website is?
LesterChan.net.
At which both of those items will be linked to in the show notes. Lester, have a great rest of the morning. Hopefully we can have you back on the show in a few months' time.
And, sure.
Keep doing awesome WordPress stuff.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Great. Thanks, Lester.
Thanks, Marcus. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Lester Gamers Chen, who is just a pretty awesome plugin developer in his own right. And Marcus, before we get to the plugin picks of the week, hey, more plugin talk. Anything you take away from that discussion?
Absolutely. It's a lot different being a developer than we thought. And for me, WordPress meetups are a little different on the other side of the world. They go there to pluck developers out of the pool. I could like go into the market and shopping. It's pretty great.
It's a good point you bring up because, well, I'm just saying here in the U.S., U.S.-based, it seems like there's developers everywhere you look. There's developers, and they're saying it's crowded, yeah. And we have all these 1 to 5 person agencies everywhere. So it's a bit surprising that, you know, there's a shortage of WordPress developers over there.
Well, maybe a shortage of good ones. Who knows? But they know that the enthusiasts are the ones, the serious ones are the ones that are going to be at the meetups. And that holds true here, too. So maybe you would be employers out there might want to just, you know, subvertly kind of get into the WordCamp and the WordPress meetup scene, and then just do your pitching at the bar after the whole meetup event.
Yeah, I know Crowd Favorite, a large WordPress agency, has these satellite companies. I think they have one somewhere in Paris or London. I think they need to open up an office in Singapore.
Why not?
I have to put a note in. So, Marcus, give us the plugin picks of the week.
All right. Well, you know, you've talked about how one of your favorite plugins is one of Lester's poll plugins. This is something that's pretty cool. It's based on gravity forms and some conditional logic type stuff. It's called Gravity Forms Personality Quiz Add-on. It lets you create a simple, ungraded personality quiz. You can build a couple types of quizzes, both numeric and multiple choice. And the end result for the quiz, as far as the numeric version, will be a number or a score, while the result for a multiple choice quiz will be one of the choices present in your form. So you get to decide, okay, if somebody at the end's score is, you know, 50, the output is, yes, you're crazy, or something like that.
That would be my score.
Right. So it uses all of the gravity forms conditional logic stuff to provide a total confirmation and notification based on the quiz result itself. So depending on what that end score is, that's what the notification is also. So I look at this, I'm always looking at it from the business end, and it doesn't have to be a personality quiz. This is something that is outstanding to use as a lead form for your company. So the person filling out the form grade how good of a lead or a potential client they would be. So check this out. It's called Gravity Forms Personality Quiz Add-on.
And Gravity Forms is a commercial plugin. However, this add-on is available for free on the WordPress.org repository.
Absolutely. The next one we've got is called Triple T Crop. And essentially, it lets you edit all of your existing WordPress-generated thumbnail images. And sometimes, whether that be the fault of the theme maker or just maybe a bad, weird image positioning or size, some of our crops, as far as the generated thumbnails, don't at all capture what they should to capture the essence of the story or the featured image or any of those particular items. So what this plugin does is it lets you select the existing thumbnail, and then it gives you the original image so that you can edit your own crop area on each one. And the nice thing is it lets you save the new thumbnail image not by creating a new image, but it just overwrites the old original thumbnail file. So you don't have to do any kind of weird replacing or go back and try and replace the featured image or anything like that. It just puts it right back in place as a perfectly cropped image just the way you wanted it.
Now, I haven't used this, but the first thing on my mind is whether it has an undo feature or a preview feature or something, because, you know, as you said, because it overwrites the original file, you know, mm-hmm. You got to be sure that, you know, your new crop is what you want.
But that's the thing. It's not locked into that, and because of the fact that this is a crop editor, you get to go back and edit the crop again if you want to and resave the thumbnail. So it knows what original image it's trying to crop, and that it doesn't overwrite that big, large image, but it just gives you a separate area in which to make a crop that secondary thumbnail gets saved to.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's just it's an editor for your thumbnails, really. They should have called it Thumbnail Editor. What's wrong with them? Okay, finally, I've got something that, boy, I really would have given my left tooth to give something like this to a client. This is called WP Family Tree, and it's a graphically formatted family tree generator, and all of the family members are registered actually as custom post types. So you can manage in those custom post types fields like their name, birthday, you can add the person's picture, put their job in there, different kinds of notes like that. And then you can make relationship associations with people that are already in there as custom post types. So, you know, Jeff, you could put, you know, your siblings, your cousins, you know, your grandfather, everybody in there. You can put associations to who they are. And then this thing spits out with a short code a nice family tree. And the really neat thing about it is other registered users can also make their own family tree, too. So you can kind of make this into a family tree site, or if you wanted to actually have a domain for your family, this would be a great way for other members of your family to participate as well. So I thought this is a really neat plugin.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to see a plugin like this available for free for WordPress, because most parts, I think you would have to rely on a service and do everything on the service, and then like they probably give you an embed code and you put it on a page. So it's right. Nice that you'd be able to handle everything on WordPress through a plugin.
Yeah, exactly. So it you know, this is it's kind of nice. Even things like Facebook don't do things like this as far as family trees go. So this is a pretty cool capability that WordPress has.
And I'm on the plugin page. I'm looking at their screenshots, and I see a graphical interface of a family tree, and pretty neat how they've they have blue. They use the color of light blue to signify male, and the color pink, of course, to signify female. And you can check out the family tree. And I actually like the design. Pretty nice looking. It's not your standard, just a couple of different lines, bold lines, and names. It's actually pretty nice.
And as you mentioned, this is a free plugin. There's no premium version. There's no anything like that. This is a brand new plugin that somebody just developed and decided to put out on the repository, and it's great. So if you're interested in something like this, even if you have your own personal blog or something like that, this might be fun for you to put together.
Awesome. So that is going to do it for this week of WordPress Weekly. This weekend is a busy time for WordPress conferences. There is WordCamp Tampa, which is a testing grounds for the WordCamp live stream hardware that they're going to be testing. They're going to try and do a very high quality live stream of that event through hardware that the foundation purchased. So if you have a chance, I'm not sure if they're actually selling tickets or what for the Tampa live stream, or if any are available, but check that out on the website. Then
why aren't we announcing for that? Why aren't we the ones hired to go down there and go, you know, do the big,
and now, coming from stage two.
Yeah?
I'm not sure. There's Prestige Conference. Prestige Conference is happening this weekend. It's a conference dedicated to all things WordPress and business, which is a conference Marcus should be going to, but he's not. They also have a live stream, and I think live stream tickets are still available. If not, they're close to selling out. Mm-hmm. We also have WordCamp Ann Arbor that's taking place this Saturday. I will be there in attendance. So if you're listening to the show, you're a listener to the show, and you're going to be in the Ann Arbor area, stop by. It's been sold out now for a while. I think there's only going to be about 200 people there. $12 and an all-day event to learn WordPress. Very affordable way to learn WordPress. I can't wait. And the fall colors should be in full peak there too. So we got that going for me as well. And that's three events. There might even be another WordCamp. Oh, Dallas. WordCamp Dallas-Fort Worth is going on, and that Friday before October 3rd will be Pods Camp. So this weekend, boy, it's busy for WordPress conferences.
Tough choices. $12 for tickets, too. Boy, you know, 20 years we're going to be like, yeah, I remember when WordCamp was $12.
Well, I hope we're not saying that. But and for anyone listening, if you want to know why they're $12 and they're so affordable, you should check out our previous episode with
where
we interviewed Andrea Middleton. She gave us a scoop on how they're able to make WordCamps so affordable. So with that, we have no guest lineup for next week. I think Marcus and I will sit back and cover a few items and get into some nitty-gritty on some things. And that's going to wrap it up for this edition of WordPress Weekly. So you can find show notes on wbtavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro. That's J-E-F-F-R-0. And Marcus, how about yourself?
You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and also my other show, which is WordPress Plugins A to Z. And on Twitter, at Marcus Couch.
Oh, and before we go, last but not least, I want to thank, I think her name is Lynn Taylor, at the, I believe it was the Oklahoma City meetup, and she had recommended WordPress Weekly as a gotta listen to podcast, and we already have a fan who's addicted to the show, thanks to her. So, awesome. Thank you for the recommendation, and thank you to our new listeners based on her recommendation. Always glad to have new listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot. We appreciate that.
So everybody have a safe rest of the week, and we'll talk to you again next Wednesday night. I don't live in Singapore. I still live in the U.S. Next Wednesday night.